Words are flying out like endless rain into a paper cup. They sneeze a while, they pause their sleep away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open heart, possessing and caressing me. Jai Guru Deva. Nothing's gonna change my world. 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 Images of broken life which lies before me like a million eyes that hold me on and off across the universe. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Love the shades of earth are ringing through my open ears, inciting and inviting me. Limitless undying love, it shines around me like a million suns. It pulls me on and on across the universe. Jai Guru. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world.
Welcome to Thursday night.
Love. Here.
I'm Jake. Same as it ever was. And with me tonight, Riff, Hot Stuff, Oculus.
Hello.
Hello.
Hot Stuff, once again, doing this without a goddamn computer.
To call the iPhone not a computer is to not understand technology.
Uh-huh. Hey, cut and paste something. Do something that computers have been able to do since the 70s.
Go buy it.
Annotate something. And put something in the wiki for me, real quick.
I can put something in the wiki for you.
Real quick, I said.
I'm going to open up a wiki window. So that I can do that for you when you are being pain in the
ass. Or I could just have anybody else do it who's using a real computer. The Google phone can cut.
And paste.
Apparently.
That's an Android.
Because it's vaporware. It doesn't exist. It's never coming out.
Theoretically, it's supposed to be, what, next month or something? Are we actually broadcasting? We're not broadcasting.
We've lost the 24. Oh, and I should unplug the shit. Encoding resumed, it says. I'm going to stop the... No, I lost the 64. I wonder... Okay. I wonder if this is just a problem with the just shite-ass internet here at the office.
What's going on?
I don't know. We lost the 64. That's what's going on.
It's probably going to be in the last place we look.
That's true. Where Riff, where'd you leave the 64K stream?
Did you cross it with some other stream?
I don't know, man. I hope I didn't leave it in my pants in the wash.
Let's see. A lot of questions that I... Less buzz now, right? Yeah, because I unplugged the power to the laptop. This is great. This is a great setup. No buffering on the 64 now, she says. Seems good, too. So, hey, all right. So I'm going to have to use the crazy high-quality stream to make the version of this for the... to upload to the podcast. Hey, speaking of the podcast, why are we listed under technology rather than under games?
I don't know. I mean, it's possible that we've been doing... like, Stargazer 67 or whatever, I think, is the one that's been doing that for us. And so, you know, I imagine that was just sort of the category that she picked.
We should give her a custom item as a segue into asking her if she can get it recategorized. I feel bad, like, hey, you know this free thing that you've been doing for us for years and we've never thanked you? You're doing it wrong!
I mean, the question is, would we be in games? Would we be in humor?
We'd be in humorous games. No, we'd be in games. You know what we should do? We should try and become a part of the Virgin Worlds Collective.
Virgin Worlds.
Yeah, so there would finally be something good in the Virgin Worlds Collective. Ha! Burn! Did you hear that, Virgin Worlds Collective? Burn!
What? Is it? Are they worlds filled with virgins? Because no, honestly, that could be doable.
It's just this weird cluster of podcast. Worlds filled with virgins. All we have to do is fly an airplane into a building, and then we will have our own world filled with virgins. Wait, we'd have to be Mormon Muslims, though. We'd have to be Mormon Muslims that die in combat. Because then we get our own planet, and it's filled with virgins.
They have, like, spikes Mormon on the wheels of their bicycles.
Oh, those are the people in the Americas to whom Muhammad came to visit.
Right,
and
yeah.
And gave them, like, some silver tablets or something.
Yeah, yeah, they were silver. They were silver.
Right.
That's the important thing.
Yeah.
All right. How many people can we offend in the first 5 minutes of the show? I don't like Jews either. been playing some Forum Wars episode 2.
What do you think of that?
It's all right. It's the kind of thing that if you like that kind of thing, you'll like it.
I got lost in the character creation process in Forum Wars 1.
Yeah.
It made me so angry. I was like, this is just so dumb.
It is a little questionable. They talked about how it was important to them to not force people to go through a
tutorial,
confusing sign-up process. The sign-up process is basically you playing the game, right? But to somebody who knows about signing up for games on the internet, not starting to play without having chosen a password makes you think you're doing something wrong. So I do think that decision was a little questionable. I'm a little frustrated that basically the first thing that you do in episode two. Well, no, the first thing that you have to do in episode two is play through this Phoenix Wright parody.
Uh-huh.
I fucking hate Phoenix Wright. I just hate it. It is not fun at all. Because it's like,
but maybe it's funny to parody.
You know. Okay, so here's what Phoenix Wright is like. You click on a bunch of stuff. Eventually, you go somewhere, and you have it'll determine that you've clicked on the right things. You know, when you're looking around in the little sort of miniature, boring point and click adventure segments of Phoenix Wright, and then you get to a point where it's like you step into this Bill Murray machine, where
Bill Murray machine.
Yeah, you're in it. You step into a Bill Murray machine. There's a witness on the stand who says, like, four things,
uh-huh.
Right? And at some point in one of the pauses between those four things, you're supposed to present a piece of evidence. Or you can press them on the point, which goes into four little sub-trees underneath the things that they're saying. Not even trees, just one level deeper. Right? So there are eight things that this person is saying.
Yeah.
One of those eight things supposedly is contradicted by one of the pieces of evidence that you are holding. Right. So when I play Phoenix Wright, I sort of know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
But I never managed to get it right. So it's like every time. See, if you make it to the end of the testimony, it's totally linear, but then it starts over.
Right.
If you haven't done it. Wait. I'm going to make them start over. Apparently, I guess later you lose if you have to start over too many times. Riff, I don't know. How does that work?
In the first one, you got a certain number of misses before the judge was like, well, this is fucked up. Your dude is guilty. In the newer ones...
You're defending all these clients?
Yeah, you're always the
defender. You're always the defender.
Are you interviewing the defendant or somebody?
You're interviewing a witness on the stand.
I see. Okay.
In the newer ones, instead of it just being points, it's a thermometer of failure, and you will lose more or less of that thermometer...
Epic thermometer.
For a wrong answer, depending on where you are in the testimony. Like, if you're in a very exciting plot point, and you've been challenged by the prosecutor to get it right this time, then your failing in this moment will cost you more of your...
temperature.
Yeah, more of your temperature than it otherwise would. Things like that.
Do you just have to, like, memorize all of the facts that you have with you? Or
you can look at all your evidence at
any point. You can basically look at the evidence you have. I mean, I guess it's between each pause, but it's just... maybe I'm just stupid, right? Maybe I'm just stupid, because every time what happens to me is I'm like, alright, fuck, I guess I will go through this as many times as it takes for me to try each piece of evidence that I have at every juncture where it is possible to present evidence. It was worse in the Forum Wars intro, because it was like a joke, right? It wasn't anything that actually made any sense.
Right.
And it's like, I'm like, okay, I'd really like to play some fucking Forum Wars. Like, this is hilarious and all, but I read every part of it like 30 goddamn times.
Huh.
And so then it's just, you know, like...
So you never, like, playing the Phoenix Wright, you never actually found the contradictions. I feel like...
See, I really enjoyed the Phoenix Wright games, and there were, of course, you know, there were certain puzzles that were more obtuse than others that I would get stuck on, but...
It's like puzzly.
Kind of puzzly, but it's...
I mean, you have to...
I'm the dumbest guy in the world.
Sure.
Right? Like, I
you're kind of impatient is the only thing that I can imagine being problematic.
Well, sure, but it's like, it's frustrating. They will say something that you can contradict with this piece of evidence, but because you didn't press them on it, they did not, what they're saying does not contradict the piece of evidence enough.
That's kind of lame.
Maybe other people don't feel that.
So if you press them on it, you can't contradict them on the unpressed point?
Well, you wouldn't, if you contradict them on the unpressed point, you either win or it starts over.
Well, no, I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you press them and then that isn't... Like, are you supposed to do it at one of those 8 points, and if you press them, you've missed your point if it was supposed to be on the more general
it
thing?
It can be the case, I think, that that's where you lose that. I don't
like,
know.
The thing with the pressing is, like, for example, like, I mean, just to oversimplify it, like, you might have, like, some way to say, no, I didn't kill this guy, I was at the store. And then you can press them on it and say, oh, yeah, which store? And it says, oh, yeah, that store on Main Street. And then you, like, would present a map of Main Street saying that there's...
That has no stores on it. Like, huh. But, sure, okay, something like that? Yeah, that's solvable. Basically, everything that I ever did in Phoenix Wright just came down to the bullshit trial and error, which is where I just stopped playing adventure games.
Right?
Like, if I don't...
Which is funny, because there's a lot of trial and error, there especially was a lot of trial and error built into KOL with crafting.
Sure. And I guess, you know, it kind of bothers me if I would probably hate KOL if I was playing it. The thing is, I feel like you can
KOL basically became a thing that requires spoilers, right? And then we got mad that it requires spoilers, so we put in the fortune cookies.
The 64 stream still.
Yeah, no, we're losing the 64 over and over again. The internet was acting like ass earlier.
Is that our bandwidth? Upload bandwidth?
Yeah.
Is anybody
running BitTorrent or patching World of Warcraft?
Nope.
Nobody has the World of Warcraft background patcher running in the I know that the World of Warcraft patcher saw some attention in this house lately.
Yeah. If you've got World of Warcraft running, the background patcher is probably running, which means you are probably running a version of BitTorrent, basically.
Patcher doesn't seem to be running.
No, if you're running World of Warcraft.
I was sitting on the pick a character screen, but I can quit out of there. I don't think that.
Can you pick it, your character?
Oh. Yeah, this is going to be really frustrating for people actually listening on the radio. Luckily, nobody does.
No, people. I've gotten reports from people.
Sure. There are like 100 people who listen to the radio, and then there are a million people who listen to the podcast. I mean, nobody ever listens to us ever, so you can.
I guess people have, like, commutes and stuff. Like, I'm just trying to think of, like, it seems like people listen to a lot of podcasts, and I don't know when they do that.
People have commutes. I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I will sometimes go out to smoke a cigar and listen to a podcast on my thing. I will listen to a lot of them when I'm putting Legos together.
Okay.
Right? I like doing that.
But I feel like I can't be reading while I'm listening to something that I want to actually listen to.
Yeah.
And most of my day is spent reading stuff.
Yeah, that is something that I kind of lament. I sometimes want a job where I just have stuff to do that I don't really have to think about it, you know? So that I can just let my mind wander, because I feel like that's kind of productive. I feel like at work here, especially, all the time I'm doing something that requires all of my attention. Whether it's blowing off work and playing a video game or working.
Right.
Speaking of, how's that DS game?
That RPG thing?
Yeah.
Into the Abyss or whatever?
It seems okay. It seems okay. From
you got kind of frustrated.
From the Abyss. Yeah, well, I got pissed off because I didn't know how punitive the death penalty was, and it is 100% punitive, like old school console games. So, you know, I just had to save more often.
Is there any penalty for saving?
No. You have to leave the level that you're in order to save. So, but there's an item that you can buy that's reasonably cheap that warps you out. It's I don't know. At that point, it makes me it's a little irritating. One thing I like that they've done, right? It's this RPG on the DS, but Town is just a series of menus, basically. Iconic, they're cool looking, you know, but it's not, you don't have to
run around.
Yeah, you don't have to run from the weapon shop to the inn to save and stuff,
right.
And that's honestly really nice, you know? Either you're running around so fast that you might as well be using a menu, or it's slow and sucks. I feel like that's a good kind of, a good direction for console RPGs to have gone. It's you've got weapons that you swing at monsters. It has that. All right, so there's a huge disparity in my mind, and I somebody could probably describe this better than I can. The difference between swinging a sword in The Legend of Zelda and swinging a sword in Secret of Mana, right? Swinging a sword in Legend of Zelda is like instantaneous. Compared to Secret of Mana, right? There is in Secret of Mana, every weapon has
a
sort of timing, an animation delay, and a hit box, right? And I feel like Zelda has a hit box,
but everything's like instant.
Yeah, as soon as you hit it, like you hit the button and you are
slashing with it.
Before you've let off the button, you've heard the clink of your sword hitting the bad guy's armor, right? And that is a lot more satisfying to me, which made Secret of Mana, especially the later Mana games, like Children of Mana on the DS, I just found it impossible to play.
Huh.
Because I was just like, I ran up to something to swing in my sword, and it's like, oh, fuck, I forgot to stand a little back and hit the sword button a little early, so I was just constantly running into stuff.
I really liked Secret of Mana, playing through it a solo, and then you and I tried to play for a while and got really kind of frustrated.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is that we got frustrated by.
There was a quest that we had skipped a part of and couldn't actually progress. Like, we missed the princess.
Oh, you couldn't get to the two-player portion of the game. Yeah, that was the frustrating thing. There was a difficult thing that we had to level up past, and because we had missed some opportunity to talk to somebody at a specific time, a second character did not get unlocked until well after we were bored.
Yeah.
So that was
very strange.
Where were we?
We were in a hotel.
Effingham. We were in a hotel in Effingham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Effingham.
Good old Effingham. It just ruins everything. We've been talking about that for years, how we should play through Secret of Mana together. And I had known all these people who had these really fond memories of playing through Secret of Mana cooperatively with somebody.
Was it their first time, or were they? Like,
I never knew anybody who had recreated the experience the way that we tried to.
Because I mean, I played through it solo once and loved the game.
Right.
So I don't know. I guess it was the first time for those people who played through it cooperatively. Like, had they played it before?
I don't know. I do not know. Okay. It is possible that the first time they played it was co-op. Anyway. This game, From the Abyss, is very much in the Mana tradition. But there is no collision with enemies, which sort of fixes that, right?
That's interesting.
Enemies have periods of time when they're attacking, but you can just kind of run up to them swinging your sword, and it's, you know, it's sort of like the tap-tap-tap combo moves with different weapons or whatever.
Right.
And it seems all right. You start out with a spell that you can use, which is a little frustrating. It lets you... Like, you shoot out this little ball of light, and if it hits a monster, it forms this beam of lightning between you and the monster, and a little gauge that's moving towards one end, and you have to tap the button really fast to get the gauge to the other end.
Okay.
It moves slower the more you out-level them, and it starts lower the less health they have.
I see.
Or the movement and the start might vary inversely on the things that I just mentioned. But basically when you complete that, you get a skill. Every monster in the game apparently has a skill that you can learn from it. So the first monster you encounter that you can actually do the thing on, it gives you like this like kind of short range AoE attack with a sword. So it's interesting. And then you map that to one of the three buttons that isn't the normal attack button. What it seems like so far, you go in, like, world one is divided into worlds one through four, and in each of them, it introduces one new monster. Well, like, there's two monsters on the first floor, right? And then in one, two, there's one of those monsters plus an additional monster. And then in the third one, there's yet another monster. The fourth one is just a staging area for the boss fight, which it always will give you one of those warp back to town items. And then you can come back and start at level four, so you get another warp back to town item, and then you can fight the boss. It always gives you an opportunity to save before you fight the boss, which I did not do, and then I had no idea how fucking painfully difficult and tedious the boss fights were. So yeah, played through the first boss, got killed, and I'm like, yeah, wish I had saved.
That is frustrating.
Yeah. I don't know the boss. I didn't try to use the skill stealing spell on the boss because I had spent so long dicking around
getting
trying to kill it. Yeah. I'm assuming the boss out-levels you by quite a bit, so
yeah.
It'd probably be really frustrating to try.
Come back.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
That'd be
they go out of their way to tell you that every time you go into this level, it's actually a parallel dimension, so all the monsters will be back and you can fight the boss again. Like,
I see.
It's, you're going through this gate into some chaos world, but their labyrinth, the first level of their labyrinth looks suspiciously like an idyllic prairie. It's got that kind of typical starting RPG thing.
Right.
Second one's a cave. World 2 is always a cave.
Prairies and caves are cool.
Yeah. World 1 is always a prairie, World 2 is always a cave.
That was the follow-up series to Little Home on the Prairie.
Little Home in the Cave. Yeah. Yeah. That one, Nelly was a much higher level in the second one.
But she had psychic powers.
I'm assuming Nelly would be the enemy that you were fighting, right?
We haven't mentioned our new Twitter.
Oh, yeah. So we decided... We decided to do a collaborative staff Twitter stream.
Was it Mr. Mag that came up with that?
CD Moyer suggested it. He was like, people would go apeshit about a collaborative asymmetric staff Twitter, and I'm like, okay. None of us would have done it independently, but together, it's one of those things like.
It's much more interesting when all of us are contributing to it.
Yeah. So Riff twittered about pooping and then immediately stopped using it.
Yeah.
Because Riff doesn't care about our fans.
I gotta save all of everything that I've got to say for my blog.
But you put the one sentence stuff in the Twitter and you put the long stuff in the blog.
You can also put a Twitter feed on your blog.
But you could
advertise our Twitter.
You could
feed
just constantly be saying, "I just wrote something really interesting in my blog," and then link to it, and then you'll get tons of readers.
That's true. That is true. Anyway, we're ASYM on Twitter. Continuing my tradition of only ever creating accounts for four letters. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's
and the blog is minimumsafedistance.org.
Right. Be better if it was four letters.
Yeah.
Like bash.org. You should put your blog on bash.org. Or
the
like
entire blog.
4chan.org.
That's five letters.
Okay, that's five letters, but my blog is on 4chan.org.
There's only four letters.
That's true. That's true.
And a number.
So I can
write
a World of Warcraft character called like Fred 226222226222622.
Exactly. 222. You could use numbers.
You can't use numbers. Oh, that sucks. Because how am I gonna roll my Tauren Shaman named it Too Legit to Quit with numeral twos in it?
There's no cow pun in that. I don't think that name would be accepted.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. So it's a friggin' Draenei.
Okay. Well, that's what we find.
they're more legit anyway because they're from space. Yeah. I logged into World of Warcraft the other day, or last night, or whenever.
3.0 came out.
Because 3.0 came out, and I wanted to see the new features. And I logged into my Dwarf Hunter, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the auction house and see if there are any of these glyph things I've been hearing about.
Oh, yeah.
And there are just hundreds of them, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Is that the inscription product? Or is that
and I feel like this is the absolute worst time to buy that kind of thing in the player economy because the prices have got to be super inflated. Or it's the best time to buy it because the market's totally saturated.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, so, okay, it is either the worst time or the best time to do this. I'm going to log on to my other
character
and see what's going on.
Tale of Two Cities.
Yeah. And that's what I should have done.
Exactly.
Then I logged on to my old main and had been kicked out of my guild. Goddamn guild!
I don't
think
the guild exists anymore.
Yeah,
I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, that would be a problem for being in that guild.
It makes me frustrated that I like had effectively donated thousands of gold to that guild. Oh well.
Yeah, that's why you should never get involved. Yeah. See, I know the moment they asked me to sign up for a goddamn forum, I'm like, you know what? This is going to end in fucking flaming tears. I shouldn't get involved.
Those are the worst kind of.
You know, it's always. Guildmasters always have girlfriends.
Yeah.
And there's always some drama with the guildmaster and the guildmaster's girlfriend.
Every guild that I have ever been in that has dissolved or been the you know, subject of some giant schism between people, every single time the guild leader's wife or girlfriend has been at the root of it.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
What the
because I'm our guild leader right now.
Uh-oh.
Riff is our guild leader, and Riff's girlfriend is in the guild, but... Hey.
Sorry, Jenny.
She's like a dude, though, so she'll be okay. Yeah, I don't, you know... The thing is, normally I would take this opportunity to reinforce my constantly broadcast messages of misogyny to all of our listeners. But this time, it's just kind of like, I'm not like, see, I told you. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, like I don't know. You know, I would like to think. Maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe I am wrong about this. I would like to think that if somebody, apropos of nothing, insulted my wife, that she would not demand that I cause a bunch of shit to fall apart as a result of that, you know? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's not true. Maybe that's just not how women operate. But you know, it's. I really feel like if my wife was the, like, let's say I was in a community and my wife was like a moderator of the community and somebody was really mean to me, I would not, like, hey, ban this person because you can and you're my wife, because that's not gonna end well. Is that gonna end well?
Not gonna end well.
It's not gonna end well. Fucking guild leaders, girlfriends. Something's gonna happen to you, Jenny. Something's gonna change.
You know what's gonna happen is somebody else in the guild is gonna try to kill you in real life. And then some shit is gonna go down.
That's true.
You laugh, but it happens.
It could happen.
Or you'll have some sort of baby, and then you'll forget to feed the baby because you're playing World of Warcraft, and the baby will die.
Like, that's okay, because it will have been a baby that we didn't want.
This actually happened. Like, there were people who neglected their child because they were playing World of Warcraft, and the child died.
Huh.
From, like, starvation. So, it was like in Sweden or something. I don't know. It was somewhere.
Was it in a place where children routinely die of starvation anyway?
No.
Were they playing World of Warcraft on a one laptop per child laptop?
No. No.
One WoW laptop per child.
One WoW laptop per child.
If we ever wanted to just destroy a country.
We should totally just do that. Games as military offensive weapons.
Yeah. Just give. Yeah, yeah.
Because you could just destroy an entire generation and their ability to produce anything of value. Yeah.
Like, give them all World of Warcraft and 4chan accounts.
Yeah. They would never leave the internet, and nothing would ever happen in that country again.
You know, instead of the government keeping the black man down by supplying crack to poor neighborhoods, they should just supply World of Warcraft to poor neighborhoods.
Yeah. Well, they're putting libraries in public computers.
They're putting libraries in public computers?
Yeah.
Wow!
I know.
How are they fitting them in there?
Because of
and
the
what's a public computer?
It's something you find at the public library.
I see. I get it.
There's an entire library inside it. Because of the internet.
There really is an entire library inside of every computer because of the internet. That's except true. Computers that aren't attached to the internet.
That doesn't happen anymore.
There's an entire library inside your phone, but all the pages are really small and slow.
It's not that slow.
Okay, yeah. You know what? I base a lot of my my judgments about your experience on my iPhone, which is the older, slower model. You, as Will Smith would say, have the new hotness, whereas my iPhone is old and busted.
Exactly.
Or like the guy at the G4 party at... I think about this all the time, and I really shouldn't.
Uh-huh.
When we were at the G4 party, there was that guy that looked like... My wife says he looks like a young version of Flavor Flav.
Uh-huh.
Super high, super ostentatiously dressed, just walking around talking to everybody. He asked me what I was drinking, and I was like, Jack. He's like, Jack and Coke? And I'm like, no, just Jack. And he's like, ha-ha, like an old man. And I was like, yeah,
wow,
just like an old man. Get the fuck off my lawn. Yeah, so I'm using just the old original iPhone, like an old man.
We went to some strange parties in both San Diego and Austin.
Yeah.
That was, like, Comic-Con industry parties were very... I don't know, like, sort of ostentatious and not all that interesting, and the ones at the Game Developers Conference in Austin were not really all that ostentatious, but were all very, like, people were just talking in small clusters and not really mixing and or anything. It was very...
You would think the ones in Austin would be more ostentatious just by virtue of them being in Austin. Yeah.
It just seemed very hard to, like, actually mix. We're not particularly mixable types.
No.
We met some cool people from Germany.
That's true. It's weird. I was like, hey, there's that guy. I should talk to him. And then the guy that he was with ended up being there. It was like hitting on a girl, right? Like, you're like, all right, there's that hot girl from earlier. Right. Let's go talk to her. And then turns out she's just this sort of vapid bore, but her ugly friend is really interesting to talk to.
Yeah.
See?
It was like that.
Exactly like that.
Could be like hitting on dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Should we start
answering the questions?
Hey, we were talking about games and game-related things and industry things. This is what the people want. The people have spoken. all two of them, they've spoken and said, we like it when you don't answer questions or talk about KOL at all. Shut up, homos who say that's no good.
It looks like some of these were during your previous show.
Probably. ChefBob27 says, have you heard about the new Bond movie coming out? Yeah, Coke Zero.
And also there's ads on TV. I think they're Smirnoff ads for Quantum of Solace.
It's making me really sad.
We
went and saw
Moonraker was one of the worst ones, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Moonraker's one of the only ones that I ever read the book.
That had a cool song.
We went and saw City of Ember, which, children's movie, so not, like, the greatest thing ever. It was
pretty enjoyable for a kid's movie.
Yeah, it was just, like, a 12 Monkeys light. So, like,
kind of.
12 of those little bitty monkeys that hang out on your finger. Or maybe, like, 10 of them.
Yeah.
And nobody ever knows about the little monkeys that hang out on your finger.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
It was a photo that I saw in 321 Contact when I was a kid. This guy's hand with a tiny little monkey, like, wrapped around his finger. The little finger monkeys. They're called finger monkeys.
these are real things? Like, living
I don't know. There was a photograph of one in 321 Contact, and I'm pretty sure I was reading that before Photoshop existed.
Okay.
You're the one who wanted to be a National Geographic photographer. You should know about every kind of animal.
Yeah, but the kinds... I wasn't going to photograph animals.
Whatever. You were going places. You needed to know what kind of animals to watch out for. It's inexcusable that you were considering that as a career path and you did not know about
every
single
kind of
animal. Yeah. Water bears. Water bears, complete fucking surprise to you.
That's true. They were.
And you were like, what?
What?
See, that's why you didn't get the job.
That's true. It's also not really a job, per se. Like, they have...
It's a career.
They have a variety of staff photographers, but most of the people who do stuff there are just, like, people who are photographers who will, like, pitch a story to National Geographic, often with a writer. Like,
if their story is not accepted, do they then pitch a fit?
Yeah. Or if it is, they pitch a tent.
Oh!
We're not really helping on the whole... this being the gayest show we've ever done thing.
Yeah, is this true? Let's see. Lord Derby says, have you thought about making a crazy cat lady trophy for people who've had a ridiculous number of familiars, like 50 plus or something? 50 familiars is not that hard to get anymore.
Yeah.
And there is a trophy for people who have more than 50 familiars. So yes.
Well, not...
Yes, we thought of that. We didn't call it a crazy cat lady trophy. Okay. Not
also, there's only one cat. I guess the lion's also kind of a cat.
What? Oh, the dandelion? Yeah. Manny all says, some stores in the mall don't have owners. Bug? I think some mall stores are not getting deleted the way that... I thought I fixed that, though. It might be something where there are disabled accounts get deleted on a different timetable than normal ones, and so it could be that there are stores in the mall that wait around for a few days. I don't know, man. I don't know. I remember that happening before, and I fixed it. Gleave says, hey, Jack, put the /mark command in the documentation. Write that up in the wiki.
What is the /mark command?
It just makes it just drops an HR in the chat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's been there for a long time. You didn't know about it because it wasn't in the documentation.
Well, these... Okay, so, for example, I feel like these would be great things that we could have as tips.
Tips.
Yeah, like, because there could be the newbie tips.
There
are, like,
the chat tip of the day.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, there are so many chat features now, especially, that... And it would encourage people who don't chat to check out chat. The fact that, like, chat is not just an... You could, like, leave every channel but, like, your one-person clan... And use it as an interface, which I think a lot of people don't even realize, you know?
Well, I mean, it's a lot more usable as an interface since yesterday.
Sure, no, I know,
and
it's only going to get better, yeah.
See, I've been using it like that for forever.
Right.
I can give myself items, I can give myself effects, I can put myself into fights, I can throw myself into choice adventures. It's like dog mode. let's see. Yeah, it was weird when C.D. Moyer put those extra chat features in. I was like, ah, crap. We probably ought to put it in the documentation. And he was like, yeah. I already did. And I'm like, damn. And at the risk of making this show even gayer, damn.
So is that, that's just something that you can do at any point? And it just creates a line there, and you're like, and then you can like walk away and come back to where
yep.
you Neat.
Yeah. What it should actually do when you type slash mark is it should give you a drawing lesson from Commander Mark. Anybody who knows about Commander Mark, just thought to themselves, hey, I know about Commander Mark. He was a guy that used to give drawing lessons.
Like,
drawing blood.
I see.
Like, he taught you how to apply leeches to people in barbershops in medieval
times. Wow!
Yeah, it was really specialized training. It was
I can't remember the name of that painter guy that always did the little fluffy, happy little fluffy clouds and happy little fluffy
Bob Ross.
Bob Ross, yeah. I enjoyed watching that show even though I never painted anything.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like you could have gotten high and enjoyed that show a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like he kind of was high all the time, but I'm not
You think sure. he was high all the time?
Maybe, or he was just really, really mellow. Which is awesome.
Some people are just really mellow.
Sure.
You know, maybe he had some, like, genetic marker that just caused cannabinoids to be dumped into his bloodstream all the time.
Could be.
Dang. That'd be pretty cool.
Another application for gene therapy.
Yeah.
People who want that could just get it. Dev Joe says, did over 1,000 turns in the town square recently at max non-combat rate and got results consistent with your 5% figure. Perhaps those 10% guys forgot that they have the ballroom on. I'm really beginning to think that that's the case with those, because there are numerous reports of people getting that way too often, and I don't know, maybe it's just something, it's because it's something that's very noticeable,
yeah.
and it's in a place that people are routinely spending hundreds and hundreds of turns at once, you know, whereas if we had done that anywhere else in the game with 5% non-combat, people would be saying, no, this comes up way more often, but there, a lot of them had numbers to back it up, so...
Huh.
I don't know. After it came up that maybe they had the non-combat from the ballroom on, a couple of the people who had been giving me data said, nope, we checked that.
Really?
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is maybe there's... Does it like, put you into a different like version of the adventure when you don't have the binder or when you don't have any glyphs?
No, I checked that.
Okay, because I was thinking maybe... Like, if it did that, then maybe like one of it just rejects it, and with the other, it sent you to the...
No, even if that was the case, it would still only be trying 5% of the time, you know? So, if there had been a super likely that was somehow also sending people to that, then that's, you know, conceivable, but... let's see... Poon says, regarding Black Cat and Bathysphere, I think you missed the point. The most important Black Cat screwage all lies above the doors. The shadow, the tower monster is really frustrating stuff. Now, not so much. All because of the new content. Not whining, grateful actually, but what about those who've already done it? Isn't this a little disrespectful?
Because there was a supposition that the cat got worse the heavier it was.
Yeah, but that's what I talked about
last time
when this came up, and he's now saying that I missed the point.
Does the cat actually get worse the heavier it is?
It doesn't.
So then, I think that is still like whether. Yeah, I think.
And
that,
maybe
I think
he missed the point of what I was saying,
yeah.
and then thought that I missed the point.
Yeah. It doesn't. The things that the cat does do not get worse. Do not get better if it's lighter. That's a better way of putting it.
Huh. There's a comic about somebody who's never played World of Warcraft.
Weird.
Tatter says, the familiar of the month sounds cool. Does it do any hand jobs? It will take care of any hand job that you need done. Smoking Tongue says, although I can't use olfaction in combat in Bad Moon, it does show up in my profile page's usable skill list.
There's a couple of skills that do that.
Yeah, here's a question.
I think it's because it's not actually a skill or something. It's like in a different section of the...
Olfaction?
Yeah. It's because it's not a skill. It's like a permed flag or something that shows up.
Well, okay, yeah, that's a good
point. Like, what I'm saying is I feel like it's handled very differently than regular skills. There's a couple of things that are kind of like that. I think, Snowcone, Summoning Tongue.
Yeah, I really fucking wish that people
would be okay with not having those in the goddamn skills list anymore.
Oh, because you want them to use the the bookshelf?
Yeah, because part of the reason they were frustrating before is because they weren't just hardcore permanent skills, right? They were this weird shit that, you know, it was like whenever you would go to your skills page or look at your skills, it was checking to see if you had the flag, and if you did have the flag but you didn't have the skill, it was giving you the skill, and that's just like, it's like, yeah, it's just janky to do it that way. I don't know why we didn't just make them hardcore permanent.
I don't either.
There's got to be a reason, but I don't know what it might have been.
Because it was before we had even thought of Bad Moon, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And even if we had, that wouldn't have changed our thinking, I don't think. We could just run a single query, which converted it all, and then rewrite the bookshelf to look for those skills as opposed to the flags.
I don't want them to be skills, you know. We made them things that weren't skills, and then everybody was like, well, I want to still be able to use them as skills.
They act so much like skills that I can see why people would, like, conceptually group them that way.
Yeah, I guess.
So.
It's just frustrating that everything has to get coded twice now because of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be generalized.
Did we split up the snow cones into three separate summons?
We didn't.
We never did.
Do you think we should?
I mean, I think in preparation for future content, we should. Right? Because I assume that you'll want to be able to do
some. I mean, I like the idea of people being able to mix and match.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, you have a lot more options at your disposal if you can do that. Yeah. And
I don't know how I'll handle the black snow cones.
I feel like what we landed on when we've discussed this before is just giving it a lower chance of occurring every time you do it. And it doesn't use up the rest of your summons. You know, just figure out the chance of it happening now, make it a one-third chance of that every time you summon one. So you could conceivably get really, really lucky and get three black snow cones. I don't think that would be that big of a deal. You know, because there's typically only one or two snow cones that you care about, I think.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, you get lucky, you have both of them at the same time, but I don't think it's going to be any really killing.
Snow cones is terrible because you need two snow cones.
Like, you need, why would you need two?
Sometimes you need more than one. You need, like, a green one.
The effect of, say, a green and a purple.
And you need them separated. You need them separated by 20 turns.
Oh, because you need the green at one time and the purple at another time. Well, anyway, with the new model, it would no longer ever screw you over like that.
Yeah. Although, it's gonna be much tougher to decide what to do, I think, with another tone skill. Because everything, like, both will be so potentially useful that I think it's going to be a lot more sticky. Well, but I mean, you say intelligent choices in the games, but, like, I feel like because it's still pretty random as to what you're getting, because you don't know in advance when you summon something. That'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that.
Dr. Van Mojo says, why does the Grimmicite Guayabera have a higher equip requirement than the Grimmicite Gown, despite the fact that the Gown has higher power and the same enchantment? I don't know, hot stuff. Why? It's possible that we changed the power of it after the fact, and
there was a little bit of weirdness in how those all got spindled, but I don't remember exactly what it was. I felt like the second series got slightly higher powers, but apparently that's not true with the Guayabera.
There are some vagaries of the way that the item spindler works that make it.
Between the time that the Guayabera and the Gown were spindled, I feel like that's when the association of power to equip requirements was changed.
Was it changed? Oh,
when we disassociated it.
Yeah, and so because we in general want equipment to default to the normal formula for stat requirements, if you save an item with a stat requirement that is blank,
it automatically populates it with the stat requirement associated with the power. Because we want to be able to change the power and the stat requirement independently after that, if we edit the stat, if we edit the power, it does not automatically update the stat requirement. So we have to remember to do that, which we never do.
And I think if you create, I feel like a lot of items get spindled with zero power and zero.
That is, yeah, that
and
is
then
the
because they are saved at zero,
they never get change.
They're not. You have to manually change everything. So these are some sort of weird vagaries of our development process that are not ideal. But
the tools that we use are not necessarily designed for the way that we work anymore, right? Because we basically always spindle stuff as placeholders now,
yeah.
and then fill in the data on it later. Just because everything is so much more complicated, right? We want to be able to like, okay, so the first thing that we do is we make sure that this zone contains the monsters that we want it to contain, and that each of those monsters has the drops that we want it to have. But we don't want to wait until all of the monsters are actually completely done, and all of the items are completely done in order to do that. So, a top-down design process.
Have no fear, because I just put that in the wiki.
You did?
Very quickly.
You put what in the wiki?
To fix the vagaries.
Monster says, you should be able to put a lemon in a box combined with nothing in a box, and then when you use it, you fight a lemon in the box. Actually, what you should be able to do is put a hole in a box.
Step one.
That is step one.
Yeah.
We should put something in if you try to combine a plot hole in a box. Yeah. You find yourself unable to complete step one. Digging a box wasn't even that funny, but the phrase, step one, cut a hole in the box.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And that will be with us forever.
Yeah. Lazy Sunday was just so much better. And I saw them both at the same time. Cloud Strife says, do mods have schedules they must stick to? Because in the early mornings, there's usually not a mod in trade. I don't know. Mods are entirely volunteer, so it's. I feel like it's natural that things like that are going to happen. Cyber34 says, so, following your logic, why aren't the fish in the Pirate Cove not animated? Not as deep water, making it easier to get hit by the stunning sunlight?
What was your logic?
That anything above ground, the sun in
very
the
deleterious.
Sun in the clothing is deleterious to animation.
Well, I guess so. Grimmsite items are animated.
Yep, they're from underground.
Stuff that you get in letters from the king is animated a lot.
Yeah, because the
letter protects it from the sun.
Yeah,
I see. And then stuff in your display case is apparently shielded sometimes. Not a spy case, a trophy case.
Sure, yeah. Trophies. Those trophies, they're manufactured inside. Yeah, the ultra rares have a coating on them. That's part of the reason they're so rare,
tattoo.
Yeah, that's made with special ink.
Well, I was going to say, that's just in a special place. Most people don't see that one.
Yeah.
Because you got it done where the sun doesn't shine?
Your tattoo where the sun don't shine.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's how that works, Cyber34. MC Sorcerer says, what about a little notification under your avatar in the left pane when you have all the parts for a custom outfit on? Kind of like it shows the name of the outfit there when you have a CAF enabled. What? Oh, like have it tell you, like the way that it says you're wearing the Bugbear outfit, have it tell you that you're wearing a custom outfit.
That seems tricky.
Yeah, it... Right now, the way that works, because the custom outfits were generalized instead of being hard-coded, it caches the contents of every outfit, right? The function that determines whether you're wearing an outfit caches it. It would take some doing to make that reflect that you were wearing a custom outfit, and I'm not entirely sure that I want to change the way that works, because you could conceivably be wearing many custom outfits at once.
Yeah, that would be really messy. You could define, 37 outfits that were all the same, basically.
Yeah. even if you didn't, I mean, you could have a, you could have one outfit that one custom outfit that was just a hat, and one that was just a pair of shoes, and one that was just a
right.
athletic supporter. I don't think we have any athletic supporters in the game. We do have the sock from.
You have a loincloth.
Not Chad. Not dangling Chad. I still thought that was a very funny and topical joke about dangling Chad. That was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
God damn.
How did that happen?
How did 8 years pass, or how did George Bush become the fucking president?
Yeah.
Bingo host Age says, CD Moyer's productivity is great so far. Don't let him play World of Warcraft. I'm not planning on it. iClubU says, hi, Jick and Company. May I suggest that the Clan Advanced Search Options member count field include the option member count is prime? Yeah, so
there are some silly ones out there. Like, there's one, like, is divisible by 7 or something. And, yeah, the Clan Search thing.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. But you wouldn't, if you joined a clan that was, if you were looking to join a clan whose member count was prime, you would make it no longer
exactly.
prime.
There is
in every case except one. Because if you joined a two-person clan.
Yeah. That is, in fact, the only
case. The only case, right? Unless you join a one-person clan, because one is totally prime.
One is not prime.
Yeah.
Two is the first prime number.
Okay. But the reason that it is like that is to make it easier to talk about prime numbers. It is not. It is. One is not prime, so that it is easier to write a definition for prime numbers that doesn't include an exception case for one. If you're looking at the prime factors of something, one is a prime factor of everything.
What?
I'm serious.
Okay.
In fact, a whole bunch of ones are a prime factor, like an infinite number of ones are in the list of factors for any number.
Yeah, the clan search thing has, you know, member count is, you know, X members, and it's less than X members, exactly X members, greater than X members, a multiple of X members, and a factor of X members.
That's pretty funny. I've never seen that.
I've never played the Advanced
NC Sorcerer says, animating the sea was fucking awesome. Good job, Chicken Crew. Yay, hot stuff. Yay.
It took me like 2.5 days. That was a lot of work. Mostly because I like spent a lot of time being like, how do fish move?
CD Moyer wants to know what server he should play on. Yeah, that's going to...
That's not even really funny.
In fact, we have to kill him. That's the only solution. We have to kill him now. Give us a taste and then take it away. If we can't have you, no one will. And gayer and gayer. And gayer. Lord Ike says, I was glad to see that there was an interface change, but was dismayed to find out that, once again, Postomancer summonings were left off the list of auto-attacks. Could this be possible? I think I put that in as, if you're feeling really ambitious, make that go. So you can try and talk CD Moyer into it. Disco Daryl says, the ghostly shell image looks like an animal cracker. Yum. How do you know it's not an animal cracker? And what it actually is an outline of, a stain that appeared on my DVD of Animal Crackers, the Marx Brothers
movie. Wow, really?
Yes. Yes. That is what that image is. I was like, wow. This stain looks suspiciously like a turtle. I should make a game. That was the actual genesis of KOL.
Weird.
See, I didn't have a DVD of Animal Crackers until a few months ago, and I haven't opened it. So I don't know if there's a stain on it or not. Well, it would be awesome.
This story is terrible.
If I opened it up and there was like a picture of the Virgin Mary burned onto the DVD, and I don't mean like it's a DVD from the Vatican with like, you know, famous pictures of the Virgin Mary, a documentary, right? So that'd be funny because then you could be like, hey, there's a picture of the Virgin Mary on this DVD, and people would come from miles around and then they would kick you in the nuts.
Maybe if the DVD was also bleeding.
I think we could arrange that. I need to not. I need for Armac not to be right. So we need to play some music that never gets played.
Ever?
Yeah. No, we need to play some songs that no one has ever heard before. You guys got your kazoos and theremins.
Play my armpit, maybe.
Do you have a theremin in your armpit?
No.
Selden says he's a tuba and throat singer, but I don't believe him. I think he's just going to be like that douchebag on YouTube that's all like, I'm going to teach you how to tuba and throat sing. First you make a noise like a motorcycle. Run, na 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 run, na na na. And then he just goes, run, na 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 na, for the remaining 3 or 4 minutes of the move, of the video. I'm like, fuck you, man. Fuck that guy. When I first went there, I was like, wow, people are being really mean to this guy in the comments. And then afterwards, I was like, people are not being mean enough to this guy in the comments. You're not tuba and throat singing. You're just making motorcycle noise.
You say that like that's a bad thing.
One of the vampires in the fucking god awful True Blood show.
Uh huh.
It's like one of the ways in which they create a disconnect between his character and the you know, young, inexperienced, naive southern waitress is he's listening to a record, or he's listening to a CD of tuba and throat singing, and she's like, this just sounds like a bunch of grunting. And then he's like, no, it's tuba and throat singing, which you would know if you were hundreds of years old like I am, or listened to NPR 5 or 6 years ago when there was that thing about Ondar, and then suddenly everybody knew about tuba and throat singing. Yeah, that show was fucking terrible. Yeah. Independent of the crap that I just said that really didn't have anything to do with anything, that show is awful.
I mean, did that really actually happen?
Yes.
I see.
But
the waitress was a vampire. About,
no, the waitress is not a vampire. The waitress is a psychic.
And so she can't read vampires.
She has a gap in her teeth because she's Anna Paquin. Anna Paquin is one of those people like Bjork, where sometimes she's really attractive, but then you move like an inch and it's like, ah, what the... You know?
And why is she wearing a swan? That's what I'm always asking. Now, Bjork is always wearing a swan, and I was like...
Always wearing a swan, yeah. You couldn't see the swan from this other angle, right. So you were like, hey, it's a girl. Oh, wait, it's some weird swan fetishist.
Wow, it's... She's like a furry, but for birds. Like a feathery, maybe? I don't...
There's gotta be. You know, every time I look at something and I'm like, oh, I should play that, I'm like, no, that's something I've played hundreds of times before.
Wait, are we really going to play something that you've never heard before?
I guess I shouldn't do that, right?
Where all is this music coming from?
My CDs and stuff.
You could play some Bartok.
Some Bela Bartok?
Yeah.
Do you think people would be excited about Bela Bartok? No. I don't think that people would be particularly excited about
Bela Bartok. What about Monopuff? What do you have for Monopuff?
I have that one Monopuff album. We've never...
Birthday Cake on it? That's my favorite Monopuff song.
You have a favorite Monopuff song?
Yeah.
That's weird, man.
That I have them?
No, I was excited about Monopuff until I realized it was John Flansburgh's solo album and not John Linnell's. See, I can play John Linnell's solo album, but we play that all the time. We play parts of it all the time.
Wow, this is tough.
I know.
You can play some Blur.
Yeah.
We don't play any Blur.
Best of Blur.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never played any Blur.
Beetle
this is not even
there
my...
You go. There you
okay,
go.
So Beetlebum and what else? How long is Beetlebum?
I don't know.
5 minutes. And then coffee and TV.
All right. That's
10 minutes of music, after which we will see you all again.
Ha ha!
Just get now. when she lets me slip away, she tells me I'm just a man.
actually show Animal Cracker?
Wow, that song just ends.
Like, the end.
Yeah, no, it's moving right along. Over. Yeah.
It also might fade into another song on the
CD. Oh, that could be. Yeah.
There's a lot of songs like that in the world.
Yeah. Jonatron says it was the river's daughter who Tom was married to whom Tom was married. Wait, I think her name was Goldberry. I think.
Who's Tom?
I think you're right. Tom Bombadil.
Oh.
Yeah. So, all right. So she's half river. I still want to have sex with her. Because, like, you know, River Tam is pretty hot.
I was going to say River Phoenix.
That's just okay, yes, here. Right? You were going gay, and I was going,
no,
like, weird.
Your wife is half River Phoenix.
Because she's Phoenix?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So there you go.
Sure.
You put both of them together, and you're totally gay.
Right. Because I'm having sex with a woman. I'm gay. Because I'm married to a woman.
Yeah,
I'm gay.
My gay uncle is married to my
your gay aunt.
No, well, she was.
No, your aunt was super not gay.
She was super not gay.
Yeah,
indeed.
You say that as though being gay and being super were mutually exclusive.
No.
I'll have the soup.
Or the gay.
No,
what
do you want with that? Super not gay.
My super gay.
Both. I'm sad that we didn't get to meet your gay uncle.
You would have enjoyed him.
There we go. Anyway, thanks, Jonathan. We were talking about Tom Bombadil's wife on the last show.
I see.
That's the thing. Fred Levi says, there should be some kind of rare adventure in the kitchens where you can feed a chef a food item and he tells you how it's made. I wonder how many people would use that and how many people would just cook the stuff for themselves. Maybe you'd have to buy it in the mall.
It's an interesting notion, though. Reverse engineering recipes that way. Because you can reverse engineer anything that's meat-pasted from the mall.
Yeah.
That's tradable.
Hovering Toast Cat says, could the Clan forum feature perhaps get a little love? It works, but it's a very primitive forum system, which makes me unhappy. I feel like our Clan forums are very much like the integrated voice chat in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're gonna give you all of the stuff that you need in one place, only it turns out we don't actually want to write full-featured forum software.
Yeah. I feel like they're a tool for forums that aren't serious enough to run their own forums, but in reality, most serious clans will just have their own forums, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
You know? They are, I feel like they're good enough to actually have some discussions in and, like, talk about what you want to do, if you want to, like, run Hobopolis a different way, or if you want to, like, approach clan warfare in this particular way or something, but, yeah, you know, you should really have real forums. Also, I really like the username Hovering Toast Cat. That's funny. You know how that works, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hovering Toast Cat.
You put the buttered toast on the back of a cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
The cat always lands on its feet, and toast always lands buttered side down, and it would just hover.
Yeah.
I've not found that toast always lands buttered side down.
Is it because you don't use butter? Or is it because you don't toast things?
I don't use
I can't believe it's not buttered toast.
I don't use jelly or any of these. I never really eat toast.
Right, so.
But I used to.
But you throw it a lot.
Yeah. No, I go to a lot of Rocky. I like to butter my toast at Rocky Horror Picture Show screens, just so, you know, because I like throwing dairy products at nerds.
It's a great hobby.
Yeah.
It's, you know, just one of those things. ChefBob27 says, hey, what do you guys think of Metallica's latest album, Death Magnetic? Metallica has a new album? I thought they were all dead.
Not heard it. I know, I'll download it. Oh, wait.
Pwned, Metallica. JMDC says, we need an outfit that boosts combat frequency. Bounty hunting rig? I still want to know how the fuck that happened with the Enduring Refinery. I would not have okayed that change. I don't know who did that.
I mean, it's possible that that was just something Xenophobe did, right?
I guess. You know, I feel like at this point we can't really undo it because everybody uses it. I mean, so if we undid that, then it would turn out like the next thing that would happen is Darth Dud would post on the forums, you have totally ruined one of the only places left where there were meaningful choices to make because you had to decide whether or not to farm for the Enduring Refinery during a run.
We could extend our our plans to 30 and 30 instead of 25 and 25.
So, like, we could not make it not stack with the Ring of Conflict.
That's true. That is true. That's a reasonable compromise there. Although, you know, I'm sure there are people currently using all 30. Although yeah. Some of them you might not be able to. I mean, some of them might be
not during a run, probably
spendy to do. Yeah, the other thing that we could do is we could we could do that thing that we tend to do with mechanics where we put them on a curve of diminishing returns.
Yeah.
Although that's a little less.
That's a little less satisfying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we could put a lot of stuff in there, but the thing is, I would want the returns to diminish to the point where you couldn't really get it past 25. You know, so it's like not really gonna.
Yeah. The way we did elemental resistance is interesting not because of the way that the curve works by itself, but because of the way we have future uses for those mechanics.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't do nearly enough stuff where we like, okay, this is a zone where your plus and minus non-combat is doubled. You know, we specifically,
right.
we've gone out of our way to never say plus 5% or whatever, you know. Like, it just says makes monsters less attractive to you, makes monsters more attractive to you, whatever. Which, you know, we could change them all to 1% increments if we wanted to, right now. And nobody would be able to be mad at us.
And they would never know because it's impossible to spade.
Yeah.
Unspadeable.
Un-motherfucking spadeable. You know.
Somewhere.
Took a long goddamn time. Kind of
you know, when we say something is unspadable, we kind of mean, like, you're going to need to aggregate thousands, hundreds of thousands
by
of players,
a sane
like,
person.
Entire rounds. Which, you know, that is cool. Honestly, I'm totally happy with the notion of someone, like, actually going through data from hundreds of runs.
GigaShadow 555 links to the head injury theater Geek ABCs, which was I saw a link to on Metafilter. I was pretty happy. Where K is for Kingdom of Loathing. That's oh god, the rats.
Maybe that'll become really big, and like everyone will see it. And
yeah, maybe so.
And then we'll get 20 new players. Because everybody already knows about Kingdom of Loathing.
We need to. It's too bad that I feel like we have the opposite problem of every other game development house. We know so many good artists, and we have so many good writers, and we have so much fucking content that we could produce. We just don't have the technical staff.
Yeah, we're weird.
Listen, what the fuck? I see so many games. I see. I'm starting to see a lot of, you know, just
technically very good games.
Browser-based games, right? They're technically very good, but the content's just not there.
I wonder if people would say objectively that KOL's content is incredible or whatever, because, you know, like, it's funny, it's well written and stuff like that, but
I don't think that it's incredible. I think it is
voluminous,
consistently not shitty.
Okay.
Is the thing, right? I mean, it's like we're not going to run out of ideas but put something in there anyway,
right.
Even without an idea. We're just not going to do that. You know, there are, like, I really don't feel like there is any filler in KOL, and I don't think we've ever been at the point where we had to put any filler in, right? And I feel like that is because we have this weird, rare problem where we just have so many more ideas than we have time or resources to implement them.
We also just will bang out an idea for a long time and then drop it entirely if it just sort of isn't funny in the
end.
Which, well, I feel like a lot of places would just put it in anyway.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like that's what people don't realize about our development cycle, is we spend a lot of time developing something and then just completely dropping it.
Right.
Because we're like, this isn't fun or funny or interesting enough or whatever.
Yeah. Then there are times when we spend a whole lot of time on something like KWE, which we're like, okay, that's a ton of good content, but it's just the way that it works just doesn't get people excited, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that using that content you know, just a zone where you fight wrestlers, right? Just turning those wrestlers into monsters would have gone over a lot better than the way the whole.
It just doesn't feel like there's enough interactivity in that whole process.
Yeah, I mean that's the Seldon says that there's not enough interactivity in the whole process, and that's probably the deal, you know. I mean, we
which once again you don't have the manpower to make more interesting like numbers mechanics behind it. I mean, the content's all great, it's all there, but the actual what it does.
Nobody can hear you, so that just the long speeches off mic are just making the show. Yeah, I mean, there was probably a better way to do it. There was probably a better way to do it, you know. But it was something that we had been sitting on for a long time, and failure to come up with a really compelling implementation that we were really excited about didn't stop us from doing it. And so then it was just like, okay. So now it's just this kind of sidelight, you know, like it's whatever.
Fabulous says, since it's a main map area, can we get the C added to the drop-down location menu?
I'm going to put the C in the drop-down location menu as soon as the quest is completable. Yeah. Because once you've completed the quest, you're no longer going to have that interstitial phase with the old man and the C. It's just going to be a link in that zone to the C. But I don't want the,
It's not going to take you to the current container document, I imagine, right?
To
the next one.
No. I think it'll take you to the current. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's... Yeah, I guess there's not really anywhere else that works like that. Because you'd need to... I mean, you're going to want to go there, right? You're going to want to be able to get there. I guess, though, if the second container document just has, you know, 15 zones...
That's what I'm thinking.
Once the number of zones in the second container document outnumbers the number of zones in the current container document, then we will switch to where that link goes.
Okay.
All right. I think we just formed a plan. See, this is how it works, kids.
Should be by the end of Q4, you think?
Yeah. Synergy. B2B.
Eyeballs.
Synergy. Zach68 says, any idea why the KOL wiki is slow as hell? It's been like that for weeks. If you don't know, read it anyway, so whoever runs the site might hear this question. You know, I really don't know what's going on with Coldfront. The last thing that I heard from Coldfront is that, like, hey, I'm no longer the KOL site coordinator. I don't know if there is one anymore.
Huh.
So somebody's still maintaining it.
I haven't honestly noticed it being super, super slow.
Yeah, I've looked at it a couple times in the last few days, and, you know, I'm almost hesitant to say anything about it, but that's the kind of thing that I would probably bail out if it was in trouble, just because I feel like it's such an important.
The wiki itself, that information really needs to be preserved.
Yeah.
Whether or not it remains part of Coldfront or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
As much as I don't want there to be spoilers in game, I feel like it is very important for spoilers to exist for players that don't want to have to figure stuff out.
And you know, it's very important to me that like that is available somehow for like my grandchildren to look at.
Well, wow, that's
for us to know.
That's
going to
be fucking
really
hard,
right?
But good luck with that.
Well, I mean,
having even KOL.
No, I know. That's the thing. KOL, I don't think, will be. But, I mean, you could conceivably build an application that was the wiki, right? I mean...
Right, but, I mean, trying to think what kind of hardware will run in 40 years. Like, what kind of software hardware will be able to run is...
Well, certainly a Windows emulator.
Maybe.
On whatever virtual big wall from the Minority Report.
We have practically nothing that runs any data from 40 years ago. Punch cards, man. Punch cards.
That's true. But, you know, we have plenty of data from 20 years ago. We have plenty of data from 30 years ago. Some data. Right. But, you know, the adventure
and things weren't... I mean, people weren't as driven to save that kind of thing back then. People didn't constantly update their backups and shit.
We'll see. I'm really curious what it's going to be like.
The prevalence of networks is a big thing too, right? Because like I feel like once it got to the point, you know, because an executable from 30 years ago will still run on
if there's a copy of it that hasn't been that exists, right?
Like, sure.
It just, so much of the magnetic media is just useless at this point.
Yeah, but I'm saying, for like a game that was published, you know, 25 years ago, there were thousands of copies of it, and somebody still has.
Maybe. Media from 30 years ago just doesn't work anymore.
No, but media from 30 years ago that was copied to a hard drive 25 years ago that was copied to another hard drive 20 years ago that was... Because I'm saying it's still there, but...
It still works.
Okay, like, it is...
Like,
it would be difficult to eliminate...
There were portions of Star Control 2, like source code and stuff like that, that was just lost. It was just lost. Like, they had... They didn't have the masters, they don't know where it was, and, like, whatever, you know, like... That was a relatively recent game, you know, within our lifetimes and memories and stuff like that, that... Like,
the source code is a different...
Okay.
And I guess the KOL wiki is a lot more akin to that kind of source code than,
right.
than some sort of finished product that was ever actually published on a, you know... Having access to the data in the wiki and just building some sort of standalone thing would be interesting as like a monument. And I hope that kind of thing is possible. I hope that what... I hope that it's not just like someday the wiki just vanishes.
Let's just
engrave
the source code into granite.
Or gold plates, yeah, that we then launch into space.
Oh, I was thinking bury it back
into the past. No, with a drill. We launch them into space with a drill, so whatever they hit, they bury themselves in.
I see.
And then Jesus can find them. Because Jesus can find anything.
Oh, we could just make some sort of monolith that hums whenever you get near it.
That's true, and then teaches you how to hit other monkeys with bones.
When you're
the Clover Man says, can you tell us about the reason for the Raffle House getting shut down? Hey. Well, to answer your second question, hey, how's it going? Fred Levi says, I spent 1,400 meat to get a fairy gravy in order to make a meat sack, which can only sell for 100 meat. Is that ironic? I wouldn't call it ironic. Ill-advised, maybe? Maybe I would go so far as to say stupid?
The player economy and the game economy are never going to mesh. Ever.
Player-created economies are the future.
Ever.
We have this idea for a game.
I can't... It is so much work for a joke.
It's not really a joke. I mean, it would
it's
be...
It's kind of a joke.
It would be a good game.
No, it would
be a good game. Okay, so here's the joke.
The game is called the Future
Game. The game is called The Future. And what we do is we set up a very basic RPG framework, and then all of the content is player-created.
Every single bit of it.
You can, like, you know, we put in a framework for you, like, you know, all right, this is a monster, this is a zone, this is a monster, this is a, you know, you upload a picture, which is invariably just a picture of a cock and balls with, like, the entire...
A cock and balls that you don't own the rights to.
That's yeah. what I was going to say was a cock and ball with, like, the entire text of, like, Harry Potter 7 right. tattooed on it. Right. You have to zoom way in to read it. But
it's 80 gigs.
And sometimes you're like, so, you know. Wow, did Dumbledore get killed, or is there just like a really weird wart on this guy's balls? Sometimes he has...
Wow, this really is the gayest show
we've ever had. But anyway, I think it would be a great game. See, what I'm trying to do is prove to all these people that say user-created content is the future that they are just wrong as fuck.
You know, maybe it is the future, and maybe the future sucks.
Yeah, the future sucks. That is a possibility we have to be willing to entertain.
I am really curious what Little Big Planet is going to be like, because I just have so little faith in user-created content.
Yeah.
You know? So, we'll see. Maybe it'll be cool.
God, just the lights in Raph Koster's eyes when he was talking about being able to shoot a fireball and have it leave a trail of burnt grass in its wake that other people can see.
Yeah.
And just immediately, you know that the first person on that server is just going to draw cock and balls in burnt grass.
Because you know you can know that engineers can make flares in World of Warcraft, right? Little things that leave smoke trails. The first thing I saw... was flying over a flight pad and someone had left a cock and balls in flares outside of Orgrimmar. I was like, okay.
Is that how long has that been? I never really knew it.
That was like some point in 2.0 they were able, that's what engineers can make.
Huh.
It was really great because, you know, like you're able to, like, say here, stand here, and then, like, leave a little smoke column that stands there for 5 minutes or whatever.
Huh.
but cock and balls.
How many flares did they have to make?
A lot. It was like 100 flares. It was a lot. Like it was, and they had probably had to have a couple people helping deploy them too, just to get it to look.
Yeah, so the first one wouldn't burn out by the time they got to the end.
Yeah, so it's a lot of work.
Sort of like some gold site I saw was advertising it by just having a bunch of I think monster they were just leaving either monster corpses or like corpses themselves.
Oh yeah, it was gnomes.
They left them gnome corpses spelling out the URL of their sites.
Yeah,
but
they had it like in front of the bank in Ironforge, and which puzzled me because I'm not sure how they killed the gnomes in Ironforge.
I think they're, I know there's at least one quest item that's like a potion that just instantly kills you when you drink
it. Yeah, the Vidir Elixir, but there's no way they were going to level hundreds of characters up to that.
There's an NPC in, an Orgrimmar for the thief quest that you can attack who will kill you in town. And that's why, or you can die by falling if you can get high enough. But I don't know. You can start a duel.
They could have used sapper charges.
Yeah, you could maybe blow yourself up with engineering items.
It's weird how tricky it is to commit suicide in World of Warcraft. Whereas it's weird how easy it is to commit career suicide by playing a lot of World of Warcraft.
That's true.
That could be.
Generally, they are level 1 characters that do this thing.
How about this, says Fred Levi? Sometimes when you try to untinker a wa, instead of a metallic A, you get an iron E. Get it? You were expecting one item, but you get a completely different one. It would be ironic, don't you think? Or would it be a little too ironic? Enter the Wumpa says, hey, so I found this game that I thought you might be interested in. It's called Icarium. It's free with a pay-for-more-content option type game. The one thing I had a problem with was the terms and conditions. They specifically allow account sitting. Why, as a game designer, would you open that can of worms for yourself?
Account sitting? Like
giving your password to somebody else to play your turns for you? Icarium was... I have a really hard time with games that are like... do something and then wait a couple hours and then do something else and then wait a couple hours and do something else. Like,
it's an interesting mode of gameplay. I will admit that, like, it intrigues me as, like, somebody who's doing a bunch of stuff, the idea of having a game where you do... But invariably, what my reaction to that is I want to script it. Anytime there's, like, a time delay and that kind of thing, I just want
to
script
it.
Yeah, like Seldon's talking about Travian, which is a very similar kind of game, and it's the like that Travian is very much like Icarium, and that that game that I was playing for a while, I don't remember what it was called, the one that I was playing when we were in London, the weird like Civ game.
Oh yeah,
that was really well put together too.
It really was. It was a cool game.
How did we forget what that was called? It seemed like it was really neat, because they were like...
Yeah, it was, but...
And you could set up different time frames.
You could, but it was just... There was another game around the time that KOL came out, like Planetarian, something that, like, some people were like, oh yeah, this game is really awesome, and I played it, and I was like, okay, I got a ship. All right, first thing is I got to go to Saturn, and then it's like, you'll arrive at Saturn in 45 minutes. I'm like, ugh. Okay, goodbye, game. Like, I...
You know what those people could do? Maybe, and you know, maybe they think this is immoral or whatever. You could put like Bejeweled in there, which if you did well would speed up your progress or something.
That's how Puzzle Pirates works.
Yeah, like basically. Puzzle Pirates or Puzzle Quest, like stuff. Yeah. I mean, I guess there's nothing in Puzzle Quest, but like games where there's like the game mechanics are sort of other games.
What's a little frustrating about Icarium is that something that you get for donating is the ability to queue up actions.
Huh.
So it's like, oh, okay, this would be a lot less frustrating if I gave them some money. So it kind of harkens back to the, like, crippleware, like... far be it from me to bag on somebody's revenue model if they're putting something out there for free.
And if it works,
That very much smacks of somebody who's putting something out there for free so that they can make money. And I guess I can't hate on anybody for that, right? I can't expect anybody else to operate the way that I do.
the thing is, like, to be competitive in our game, you would have to work really, really hard to not donate. Really, really hard. And especially if you came in late.
But the competitive aspects of our game are not, in my mind, the fundamental aspects of our game. Whereas in...
Okay.
Whereas, like, Travian or Icarium is... It is nothing but PvP. There's, you know, there's sure. City building
and
stuff. Yeah, and so, the thing is, the stuff... Huh. What the fuck was the name of that game? I feel really bad.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Did it start with an N? I feel like...
Name some more letters.
No, I think it started with an N.
I felt like it was a short name, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly feel like it was like an adjective noun combination of just totally normal words. Anyway, fuck. I'm sorry.
Kevin B says /eat/drink commands.
Ho ho ho. I think CD Moyer is excited about those.
Those are actually live on deck.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Wow. When did?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I think /use. Yeah, /use.
Yeah. /use lets you
multi-use.
Yeah.
/use lets you multi-use. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. CD Moyer's insane in the membrane.
That's true. You know, here's something that may... This is probably going to hurt us. Doing a real PvP system.
Yeah.
Where we're being very careful to make it so donating...
Don't have an advantage.
...doesn't give you an advantage. You know? Like, maybe
that's... I don't think it's going to hurt us.
Well, it would... Like, let's say that it gets 5 times as many people playing the game, none of whom donate. That would hurt us.
No, because they'll tell their friends. I mean, some of those people will play the game.
Oh, right. We need to learn to monetize our players who do not give us money.
Yeah. There was some linked interview to... one of the economists from EVE Online. I was like,
yeah.
I went to a talk by that guy, and it was so frustrating.
What was frustrating about it? It was
basically just an economics lecture. There was like nothing about the game economy basically at all. It was just like here's economics 101 in an hour. And I was like,
was it the big blonde guy in the kilt? I think that interview that I saw recently.
Yeah,
Yoldfer or something. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, he was in the getting rid of the grind and questing round table thing. He was
right.
One of the people sitting there at the round table, and he tended to. He would go on at length, you know, about...
Academically, kind of?
No. Okay. It was... I could see you describing his style as academic. He wasn't just giving an economics lecture in there, but he was just talking about how you can give people an economic game to play, and that creates a lot of entertainment for them.
Sure.
That you don't have to develop content for. I would argue that you do have to develop content for it.
Yes,
you know. But you have to have something. You have to create something that people care about, so that you can create something that people will want.
He gave like 3 or 4 examples of like actual like interaction that they had with the player base on stuff, which is what the whole point of like it was like managing large scale. Or large server...
Large shard.
Yeah, large population server economies or whatever. And I was like, this is perfect, right? Because like, we have a large shard player economy. And then we just went on and talked about, like, economics, which was like... I would have assumed that anyone going down lecture who actually really cared already knew everything that he was talking about and wanted just, like... What have you guys done? Like, what are the things to do?
Did he talk at all about the kind of things specifically that they did?
He mentioned, like, 2 or 3 examples of stuff that they had done and the effects that they had had, which, surprise, followed the economic sort of tendency. I was like, this is so not helpful. It was very frustrating.
Because, you know, we don't really do much to the economy. I feel like we make it more vibrant by accident a lot of the time,
yeah,
by suddenly,
sort of like, yeah.
Suddenly making things really valuable. I would anticipate some more of that happening in the medium term.
Q4
or Q1. We're already in Q4.
I know, but I'm saying like this Q or
this
Q. Some following Q.
Yeah, this Q.
Sorry, Q that's next in the Q.
Yes.
If we donate, maybe we can get more Q.
If we commit enough moral crimes, perhaps Q will put us on trial.
I was like,
as a representative of humanity. iClubU says, "See, Jick, what would solve your I don't want to watch movies on my computer problem is to do what my friend did and use a 42-inch LCD TV for a monitor."
Which is weird, because I was trying to convince Jick today to get a 42-inch LCD screen as a whiteboard.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Draw on it with markers.
What I wanted, no, he wanted me to get a big screen.
A big flat screen
and put glass on the front of it so that I could use it as a whiteboard. So that I could. Okay, first of all, I want to be able to upload a GIF to the whiteboard. Right? That's really what. That would be fucking awesome.
Let me back up. What he wanted was a large scale whiteboard plotter that would print in dry erase.
It was really light that I could just hold up to the whiteboard. I could put a GIF in it, hold it up to the whiteboard, and it would just like. It would write all over the whiteboard.
Have you seen those smart whiteboards?
No, I used a smart whiteboard kind of thing at a job that I had a long time ago, but it was a pain in the ass. It used regular whiteboard markers, but it was pressure sensitive, and you had to have it connected via serial cable to the software that you were running on a Windows box.
There were a lot of really early whiteboard implementations at the media lab at MIT that I played around with, and I was like, these are terrible. So maybe they've come lips and bounds.
The way that this one would work is if you were using a different color, you had to hit like a thing on a palette on the side to tell it you were using a different color. It would basically be reconstructing what you were doing on the computer, and then you could hit a print button to print it out.
Right.
It was kind of nice. You know, I could see why people would want that.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it seems like it definitely has that application. We tend to, like, write stuff on a whiteboard, and it will either sit there for years.
there is a list that I'm staring at right now on this whiteboard that we got that was like, all right, Riff, here's your whiteboard. This list has been there for 3 years.
He's working through it
since I got there.
How long have you been there? 3 years?
I want to say four, but I can't.
It's got a positive chart now. It does have a cool chart.
Yeah, it's all different colors and stuff.
It is. And it's never going to come off.
It's possible it will be tough to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
I know, you're right. If you have dry erase that won't come off, you write on it with a Sharpie.
Which is weird, yeah.
Yeah. Ekim says, could you please put in more puzzle content, like the door code puzzle? Yes. Riff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're working on it. Thinking about it. It's
I'm done. Now you just have to implement it.
It's my effort.
Malco says, thanks for getting rid of the two most static things you guys possess. No longer is map4.gif and asymmetric.net sacred. By the way, how was Buffy, Jick? Just finished season 5 last night, actually. That was an eerily prescient question, Gavalco. Yeah, map4.gif and asymmetric.net now has our Twitter feed on it. Again, for those of you who just tuned in.
Did you put like a 2008 date on there?
I did. Well, because we're about to move it.
That's true. We're going to migrate it. I feel like I've wanted, sort of in the very, very back of my brain cockles, wanted to redesign asymmetric.net to be sort of a portal for a future game.
A corporate site.
No, not corporate, but like a place that we could sort of link to all 10 of our games when we have 10 games, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we do need a sweet mission statement. We could our mission statement could be like, it could just be a link, you know, click here to view our mission statement, and it could just be a link to the Gay Nigger Association of America.
That is pretty funny.
That's my mission. You know? I want to be as cool as those guys someday.
And Sea Sister says, what's going on with /ANN in Hobopolis? It is working as it should and advertised, except for the green... That sort of
there's some sort of weird. I can't imagine why there would be tag weirdness with anything that involves code that I worked on oversight. I had some seriously fucked up nested table problems today. Doing a lot of cutting and pasting of code. I'm like, wow, this is supposed to be a square with four things, and it has become a rectangle with
hundreds and hundreds of things.
Yeah, you know. And seriously, I stand by what I said in that tweet. Fucking tweet. That was one of the major reasons I hated Twitter.
Is we try to upload a picture for our Twitter feed, and if it's within their specifications and large, it'll sort of upload, but say that the file is too large, which it isn't according to what they said it was. If it's actually sized right for the little icon, it says that Twitter is too busy. I haven't tried yet uploading something that's just too large for their actual specifications. Maybe that's the trick.
seems like other people have pictures, so I don't understand why.
Yeah.
what our problem?
I submitted a support request to there.
I mean, maybe we're trying to upload GIFs, and everybody else is trying to upload JPEGs, and they like can handle JPEGs, and they can't handle GIFs.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should save everything as a JPEG. I've heard the JPEGs rule. I forgot to plug the laptop in during the music break.
Uh-huh. What's our percentage?
We're at 19% remaining.
Oh, but we've got 10 minutes. We'll be okay.
You think we'll be okay?
We'll be okay. But yeah, Hobopolis is... It is only ever supposed to work with / Hobopolis or / H-O / ANN. If that's
well,
what you're referring to.
Well, you should be able to do / ANN while you're in Hobopolis.
No, that was
right?
Not how it's designed.
Oh, really?
No. Because then you're going to have all sorts of weird conflicts with moderators. We can't do that.
Why not?
Because it won't work that way.
But why not? Why would it have to be any different? Moderators, it's the same command. Moderators can run it in Hobopolis. There's no reason that it has to work any differently.
Okay. The reason that it was done the way it was specifically so that moderators would not have issues.
Okay. I can't imagine what those issues would be, right? I can imagine them having issues if they're trying to
do a moderator. Does it say mod announcement when a moderator does it, or whatever?
Okay.
Sure. As opposed to just...
Sure. Okay. I guess if you wanted to be... If it was really important to you that the behavior be consistent, then yeah. But yeah. I'm always assuming that what people are talking about is the weird font color.
It could be the font color,
right?
And that is a problem, and I don't know that we have any way of fixing that.
Sue Moyer is aware of it. It's just, yeah, it's... Chat is a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
I am continually astonished that
it
has
run
at all.
And it's weird, because I feel like you attribute a lot of KOL's success to the existence of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is kind of a jank fest is kind of fascinating.
But it works. It works all the time, basically. You know?
Sure.
It's like there's not really a lot of problems with it.
The fact that an indeterminate number of our messages are just swallowed by it and we don't really know. That's always problematic.
Occasional JD says, today in English we were reading a poem that featured the word semen. Giggles aplenty. Someone then asked our teacher why the writer didn't instead choose a word like sailors. She mused about how sailors are more associated with the upkeep of a ship and didn't include jobs like navigator or cook. She paused for a second, then said, semen covers everything. She's awesome.
Wow.
Bobula says, minor tweak request. If you use the / mix command while you have the consumables page open, could you have the page refresh? As it does not, so if you're making something you add none of, you have to manually refresh the page to use it.
Yeah, that's getting double plus tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be possible for that command to detect. No, you know, it is not really. It would have to be processed in a completely different way for your submission of that to be aware that you were on the mix page. No.
I don't think that's possible.
No, that just isn't going to happen. The thing is, if you're already on that page, why would you bother typing / mix and then some stuff instead of just clicking a link that you can see? Right, like, I feel like if you're on the discoveries page, it is more work.
No, you're saying while you're on the consumables page.
While you're on the consumables
page. So, in the chat pane, you mix some stuff, and then you can drink it immediately on the consumables page. But soon you'll just be able to do / drink, so it doesn't matter.
That's true. So you're saying it's going to support... the use is going to support multiple. He's not going to make it multiple.
Because that would require rewriting the consumption stuff, which you have resisted for a million years. The Spectre asks, how come the Multizar is never on the show? Do we keep him locked up in the asymmetric basement or something?
Yeah.
All first of all...
It's a swimming pool, because there aren't any...
Yeah, say, first of all, there are no basements in there.
Keep him locked in the pool.
Which explains a lot of issues. Also, he's in Boston.
And Naked Juice says, public service announcement, ankle surgery hurts like a mofo. Well, if you wouldn't climb too many trees trying to fuck birds, maybe you wouldn't break your ankle so damn often. Vorthok says, why doesn't Flavor of Magic have a spirit of tofu that forces non-elemental damage? That's actually kind of interesting.
Could
be useful. I mean,
but I thought the whole point was that it had to be elemental ion, and you couldn't do physical damage with it.
And you what?
And you couldn't do physical damage with it.
No, with I don't know.
Well, there's precedent for physical damage with weapons.
Yeah, I mean, and Pasta Master spells do physical damage all the time.
Sure.
They, well, 1/6 of the time they do physical damage 1/6 of the time. Barstool says extreme meat weapons need another tier. Additionally, some sort of mysticality Gatorade that contains intellectrolytes. Ruster Butter says, "Dear Chicken Crew, is there any way to see what song the Strung Up Quartet is playing without adventuring again in the ballroom till you get the adventure again?"
I kind of like that you can't. I kind of
really?
Yeah.
But you know, it's unfriendly.
Well,
I mean, if
or is it atmospheric?
It's not atmospheric because, like, once you get them singing something or playing something, you have no idea. There's no atmosphere.
Okay, what if every 10 turns at the end of combat,
you hear strange?
You've heard something, yeah.
That'd be cool. That's atmospheric.
That is atmospheric.
Yeah.
That would also clue people in that. What it should do is just no matter what song, it should just say you hear strains of music playing. Yeah, see, that would be atmospheric and unfriendly.
That's true.
That would be the sort of the perfect combination for us.
Should I add that to the wiki?
Yeah. Now the thing is, it wouldn't. We could make it so it's not going to say you hear them playing and then name of song, which is giving you +5% non-combat right now. Which means that if you adventure somewhere with it, you know, so we could say you hear strains of mournful music, you hear strains of Visk music. Visk?
Visk?
Yeah. You hear strains of music that can only be described by making up entirely new adjectives.
Like lute Visk.
Like Visk.
Lute
yeah.
Visk.
Like, yeah, if Visk music was played on a lute, it would be lute Visk music.
I'm thinking of lute Visk.
I know.
Okay.
But.
Fine.
But.
All I can think about are fish.
A lute. I think the lute is probably the gayest instrument. Can you think of a gayer instrument than a lute?
The piccolo. Oh, the pan.
The piccolo?
That's good.
Yeah. A piccolo that you actually had to stick all the way down your throat to play.
I knew a guy when I used to work at a Wendy's.
An underwater guy who controlled the sea?
No, he was a poet. Aspiring poet. And carried a fucking pan flute around with him all the time.
In case he was struck with.
Yeah, except he didn't know how to play it. Yes.
That's pretty
bad. I feel like. Yeah. Giga Shadow 555 says, so why can't the starfish go underwater? Because I won that particular argument against Hot Stuff by being the boss.
I was going to say. Yeah,
I didn't win it.
So much,
so much as I.
I kind of like some of the suggestions about, like, pet rocks just, like, sinking to the bottom.
You lose them.
You lose them.
That would be really awesome. And then when you find the guy's boot, finally, you dump out all your pet rocks. That would be way too much of a pain in the code for that. Severus says, the Yo-Ho-Ho-Yo only has the bland you hit X for X damage message. Think it could be spiced up? But I think that
it might
something, yeah, something
up.
Happened when we consolidated all of the yo-yos into a single group.
Oh, shoot.
It is possible that there were hit messages for the whatever the first yo-yo category was. So those should just be edited. You can look them up in the attack or the weapon text somewhere. You know what we have never done? And Scully would fucking hate me for saying this. I wrote that code such that every weapon could also have miss messages. And
oh, really?
Critical messages.
Critical
fumble messages.
I remember that because I wrote a bunch of those for the Super Magic Power Sword X.
I see. I don't know that I actually wrote the code for it to use them because it would always be hitting the database and never finding anything.
Something about large text entry areas in the Safari browser on the iPhone makes it crash.
Really?
Yeah.
The future is awesome.
Yeah, the future rules. Maybe it's because your phone is filled with player-created content.
It's frustrating because then I have to log back into all the wiki stuff. This is very annoying.
Yeah. I was hoping that somebody would have sent me a message telling me what the name of that game was. I feel really awful because, like, I talked about it on the radio, and then I got an email from that guy saying, "Hey, thanks for mentioning my game on the radio. You guys rule." I forgot to even say what I was going to say about them. That is a totally competitive game, and all you get for donating in that game is the ability to create more games, yeah, and visual, like, different icon sets for your armies and stuff. I wonder how that's doing.
We can't
check it out, but I can't because I don't remember the name of it. God damn it. Maybe it's bookmarked on my laptop.
Isn't that it right there?
Oh, yeah. This is my laptop. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Husta. See, this is why I keep him around. Everybody wants to know what his job is.
Including me sometimes.
Yeah. And then it's times like this that...
I spent a lot of time looking at an Excel spreadsheet today. I earned my keep.
I wouldn't say you spent... You ironed your keep?
I washed some sheets today. Or maybe
you washed sheets yesterday, yeah.
Wow, really? Man.
Yeah. Time just flies when you're washing sheets.
That's true.
Yeah. See, that's another thing. Because of the extreme levels of gayness at the office, we end up with a lot of sheets that need to be washed. So that's hot stuff, John. All right, I'm gonna get off this here newfangled radio device and turn you over to Fusiliband for some video game music and talking through a beard. That's what Fusiliband does. He drapes his beard in front of his mouth and talks through it to disguise his voice. Just kidding, Fusiliband. Not really kidding. All right, we'll see you kids later.
What was the... There was a second thing. Let me just derail the end of the show. Never mind. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Good night. Or yeah, goodbye, whatever, if you're not going to sleep.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, where is your inflammatory writ? Your texts are put inside a light be lit. Our music deserving devotion unswerving cry, do I deserve her with unflagging fervor? Well, no, we do not if we cannot get over it. But what's it mean when suddenly we're spent? Tell me true, ambition came and reared its head and went far from you. Even mollusks have weddings, though solemn and leaden, but you dirge for the dead and take no jam on your bread, just a supper of salt and a waltz through your empty bed. And all at once it came to me, and I wrote in hunch till 4:30. But that vast old light, it burns out with the night. In spite of all the time that we spend on it, on one bedraggled ghost of a sonnet, well, outside the wild boar's root, without bending it bow underfoot, oh, it breaks my heart, I don't know how they do it. So don't ask me, and as for my inflammatory writ, well, I wrote it and I was not inflamed one bit. From the master derailed that disaster. He said, hand that pen over to me, poetaster. Well, across the great plains, keen and lovely and awful, you laid the law straight. American novels, an unlawful lot left to stutter and freeze blood lit. But at least they didn't run to their undying credit.